Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Avodah Zarah Daf Tes Vav. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The Gemara that we will be picking up with is at the upper part of Daf Tes Vav, about 6 lines from the top. The quote from the Mishnah reads, "Uvechol mokim ein moichrin behema gasa." As opposed to a behema daka, which the Mishnah said is dependent on the custom, where there is a custom to sell behema dakas to Gentiles, so it is done, and if the custom is not, then not. But with regard to behema gasa, this is a prohibition across the boards. And as we mentioned in the previous year, this Mishnah is not focusing on the issue of commercial relations during a holiday period, but this is a restriction that goes beyond the topics dealt with at the very beginning of the perek. So the Gemara, before we go further, has a topic heading on the side. We have a nosei, "My taimo ein moichrim legoyim behemo gasa." Why is it that we are not allowed to sell heavy cattle to heavy animals to the goyim? You notice we have a mivneh. This is a structural note, and we've employed a double underline. The double underline represents one of our series markings. We have 4 of them, and we've also employed a numbering system that you can see in the Gemara to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You'll notice numbers with double underlines under them, and we number a 4. There's 4 shlavim, 4 stages, kedei lahagia lahesber, in order to arrive at the ultimate explanation. So the question is, my taimo, that we're back in the Gemara. Why is it that we say b'chol mokoim ein moichim behema gasa? Nehi de l'ravia lo chashinon. Granted that, as far as bestiality is concerned, that is not our concern, because as we mentioned in the previous sukya, that goyim are concerned with ruining their animals. So once they buy it, it becomes theirs. And it's known that having intimacy, human beings having intimacy with animals, can bring on their sterility. However, if even though revia is not our concern or our chashash, our suspicion, nevertheless, mavid bei melocha chayshinan. The prohibition of an animal doing melocha, doing constructive activity on Shabbos, is what concerns us. The Gemara asks, v'nevid kevo dezavno kanya, let the animal do melochas on Shabbos. Once the Gentile buys it, it becomes his. And as such, it's no longer bound by the Torah's requirement of animals ceasing from constructive activity on Shabbos. So the Gemara answers, we don't allow sales. Gezeira mishum she'ela u'mishum schirus. If we were to allow sales, we would then come to loan animals to the goyim, or rent them to the goyim. And in such a case, if I loaned, we'll call it a Jewish animal, to a goy, and the goy and the Gentile uses it on Shabbos, so I am in violation. The Gemara asks, "Sheila kanya, the agro kanya." Is it not so that when someone borrows something, it is said to be his for the borrowing period? And likewise with regard to rentals, when one rents it, it becomes his for the rental period. So once again, why should there be any problem in my selling an animal to the goy if I sell it, I'll come to also loaning and renting. So good, be it, so be it. Ela, we're up to the third stage of our analysis, and we also have a long answer marking accompanying this piece. You'll notice to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara, a circled tuff with a vertical dashed line indicating the length of this response. Ela Omar Rami Braid Rav Yeva Gezeira Mishum Nisyuni. We don't allow for sales in general because of the case of trial run. The issue of trial run will be explained very shortly in the Gemara, but when we talk about the trial run of the animal, we're going to be talking about an animal with a load on its back. And in general, one should be aware, before we continue in the Gemara, that when it comes to Shabbos, if I have an animal, and I have and the animal has a load on its back, and I cause the animal to transport the load, there is an iser called mechamer. That is the iser of having an animal carry loads for someone on Shabbos. So we're explaining now that we don't allow sales of animals in anticipation of the circumstances of Nisyuni. Dezimnin, and before we go further, it's also noteworthy that we have a singular quotation mark starting here, lasting about six lines. You can see where it ends. It means that one really has to learn all of these lines together to get the real picture. The zimnin dezavno lo nihale somuch lishkias hachamo demali shabato. It could happen that I will conduct a sale of my animal to the Gentile very close to the onset of Shabbos. The Omar le ta nasye nihale, and the customer may ask, I want to test it out. I want to see how the animal behaves with a package on its back. Vishoma le lekole v'ozlo machmose, and the animal, upon hearing the familiar voice of the owner, the Jewish owner, will move at his command. Vinicho le the tezel, and he is happy that the animal is moving. V'havi le mechamer achar behemto b'shabbos. And with this taking place, being that the sale is about to take place very close to Shabbos, and before the sale is concluded, the customer asks the owner to show him how the animal behaves and responds to instructions, and they're going to then spill over into Shabbos time while the animal is carrying around the load, and that's called mechamer acher behemto b'Shabbos, and that's prohibited. V'mechamer acher behemto b'Shabbos chayev chatos. It's a severe offense, and that if one does it unwittingly, he has to bring a korban chatos. Therefore, we forbid sales of behema gasas across the boards in anticipation of this scenario of nisyuni, of test out, the test run that takes place as Shabbos is setting in. As we go on in the Gemara, we have some diamonds, another one of our series markings. These are explained in the outside margin under the Mivneh heading, Kushyos Alho Di Omar Schirus Kanyo. We're going to be raising questions on that which was maintained earlier, that Schirus is Kone. That means that when one rents something, it becomes his during the rental period. Is that really so? This question appears now, Maskif Lo Rav Shisha Braid Ravidi Uschirus Mikanya. You'll notice if you skip down to the next diamond, the similar expression appears, also dashed underlined there, Uschirus Mikanya. The additional markings that we want to take note of before we read the Gemara itself, as we read the first phrase here, Maskif Law Rav Shisha Breid Ravidi Uschirus Mi Kanya. Notice we have a bracketed section. If you skip the bracketed section, and you can find the end of it by taking advantage of the length marker to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, you see a dashed dotted line that indicates the length of the brackets. So if you skip to the end of the brackets, after having read this question, is Schirus really Koine? And then you would pick up after the brackets, V'hashto di amris Schirus loy Kanya. Now that we've established with everything we've seen in the brackets that Schirus in fact is not Koine, we can now reevaluate the prohibition of sales is really Gezeiro Mishum Schirus, Ugzeiro Mishum She'ela, Ugzeiro Mishum Nisuni. The prohibition of sales of Behema Gases can be explained as prohibited in anticipation of a case of my coming to rent it or loan it to the Gentile. And in the case that it's rented or loaned to the Gentile, it does not become his. And if he, the Gentile, uses it from Loch on Shabbos, this is in effect a Jewish-owned animal doing Melochus on Shabbos. And of course there remains the Gezeira Mishum Nisuni, as we mentioned earlier. So now that we have a general picture of the Gemara, let's take a look at the entire section in the brackets. So is it true that Schirus is Kone, like was said above? And by the way, you have an arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, and if you skim up, you'll find an arrow pointing to the line that suggested that Schirus is Kone. Well, is that really so? So the Gemara asks V'hotanan. We have a Tanaic source that says Af b'mokim she'omru lahaskir. This has to do with renting apartments or homes to goyim. So that the Gemara says elsewhere, the Mishnah says later in the Masechta, that in Eretz Yisrael one is not allowed to not only sell homes to goyim, he's not allowed to even rent homes in Eretz Yisrael to goyim. But in areas outside of Eretz Yisrael, for example in Syria, there is a heter of renting a home to a goy. However, that is qualified. The Mishnah mentions that af b'mokim she'omru lahaskir, even in circumstances, for example in Chutz Laretz, outside of Eretz Yisrael, where there is an allowance to rent a home to a goy, loy lebeis dira amru, one is not allowed to rent it to him for as a domicile, mipnei shemachnis l'soicha v'liskechovim, because the fear is he will bring an idol into the rented apartment. If not for a domicile, then what is it rented for? So it's allowed to be rented out as a storage facility. But as far as a domicile is concerned, no. Well, the Schirus Kanya, if you were to think that Schirus does acquire on the behalf of the renter, then high, in this case of the apartment, kiko mayel, if he were to bring in an idol to that apartment, the basei komayel, he's bringing it into his own house. So why should the Jew not be allowed to rent an apartment to the goy? So from the fact that the Mishnah says that one is not allowed to do it, it must be because Schirus is not really Koine, it doesn't really acquire on behalf of the renter, and therefore it would be a situation where idols are being brought into my home, into a Jewish owned home, and we don't want that. The Gemara says we can't conclude the dinim of Schirus from this particular source. Shaini avodis gechovim de chamira. I can tell you that in general Schirus is Koine, but when it comes to idolatry, so we are exceptionally stringent. Dichtiv v'loisavi te'eva el beisecha. The Pasuk addresses this issue of Avodah Zorah directly, and says, don't bring the abomination into your homes. And hence, the halacha reflects a stringency that goes beyond the standard parameters of rental. Maski flor of Yitzchok Breder of Misharshio, Schirus Mikanya? The same type of question. Is it really so that Schirus acquires V'ha'atnan? Here we're going to bring a source that has nothing to do with Avodah Zarah, hence to bring a source that basically shows that Schirus is not Koine, and we're not dealing with Avodah Zarah, so we will have conclusive evidence to suggest that Schirus is really not Koine. So we have the Mishnah that says, Yisrael Shesochar Poro Mikoyen, a non-Kohen, a Yisrael, a Zar, who rents a cow from a Kohen. Yachilano, Karshine Truma. The Yisrael is allowed to feed this animal food from the Truma tithe. Truma tithes are given to Kohanim. And once when a Kohen receives it, he can do with it more or less whatever he likes and feed his animals. So here you have a Yisrael that rented a cow belonging to a Kohen, and the Mishnah says the Yisrael is able to feed it Truma. The other way around though, the Kohen Shesochar Porom Yisrael, Afalpishim is an Yisrael, a Kohen that rented a cow from a Yisrael, even though the Kohen is obligated to feed it, Loi yachileno karshine truma. He is not allowed to feed it truma food, because it, the cow that he rented, is not said to be his, to the koyens, the renter. If you were to think that schirus does acquire, constitutes a full-fledged acquisition, then amai lo yachileno, why should he not be allowed to, why should the kohen in the seifa not be allowed to feed the rented animal truma? Para di day he, it's his para. Eloshmamino, schirus loy kanya. So it must be that schirus does not really acquire. Now that we are establishing that Schirus does not acquire, I can now go back to the issue of sale prohibitions of Behema Gasa and tell you, we don't allow the sale, even though upon a complete sale it really becomes the idol worshipper's animal. Nevertheless, we don't allow sales. Because if we allow sales, you might come to a situation where you'll either rent it to the goy or you'll loan the animal to the goy. And under those circumstances, we're now saying that these things are not koine. And if the goy uses the animal for malacha on Shabbos, there's a violation of a Jewish animal doing malacha, doing constructive activity on Shabbos. And finally, ugzeira mishum nisuni. And there's also the chashash that a sale may take place very close to the onset of Shabbos, and the goy will request the Jewish owner to demonstrate how it moves with a pack on its back. As we look on in the Gemara, we see a new geometric form. We see a bow tie. And on the outside margin, we have an explanation in Mivneh. We have three Amoroyim shebitzu mechirois shetunim hezber. Three stories involving Amoroyim that conduct sales that require some explanation. Rav Ado shora lizvuni chamra ayoda de safsira. Rav Ado allows the sales of donkeys to Goyim through the services of an intermediary, of a broker. So what do we mean? The Jewish owner is going to sell the animal to a broker, and even if the broker himself is Jewish, he is allowed to sell the donkey to the Goy. Why is that allowed? So we investigate all of the possible pitfalls and see that they don't present a problem in this case. Imishum nisuni, if the fear is the test run right before Shabbos, Well, who is the goy confronting or dealing with at the point of the sale? He's dealing with the broker. The broker doesn't hold on to animals very long. There's rapid turnover. So as a result of that, the animal doesn't have recognition of the broker's voice. So the animal isn't going to respond. And therefore, there's no problem of nisyuni when it comes to purchases from a broker. Imishum nisyuni. The animal doesn't recognize the broker's voice in order for it to move as a result of hearing his commands. And if one were to think we can't allow brokers to sell because we will come to a situation where brokers will loan or rent out the animals, That too is not the case. Kevon de lo didehi loy moishu veloy moigar, since it's not his, he's merely a broker. So since it's not really his, he doesn't loan it out, nor does he rent it out. It's not his to loan out, nor to rent. The e mishum the oid mishum de lo nigli bay muma, and furthermore the broker has an incentive not to loan it out, because if he does, the customer, before buying it, while borrowing it, will reveal shortcomings that exist in the animal, and hence not complete the sale, not go through with the sale. So a broker isn't going to loan or rent out the animal, because as we just mentioned, that could lead to the loss of the sale in the future. Rav Huna zovin hahi para li'ove kechovim. Rav Huna sold a cow to an idol worshipper. How can you do that? The Mishnah says very clearly that b'chol mokom ein mochlem be'magasa. How can you do that? So Rav Huna says, emor l'shchita zavna. Well, I can assume, or I can explain away that the goy is going to buy it for shechita, for slaughtering, for meat purposes, and hence the whole realm of melacha on Shabbos doesn't even get started. Now, you'll ask, if that be the case, so how could the Mishnah teach that it's forbidden? So Rashi answers and says that the Mishnah that forbids sales of behemah gasses is talking about behemos tameos, in other words, unkosher variety animals that are capable of doing malacha. And a second answer that Rashi gives to resolve the Mishnah with Rav Huna, that the Mishnah that forbids sales of behemah gasses is talking about a tahor, a kosher variety. This is the second answer in Rashi, a kosher variety animal. And the goy, the idol worshipper, indicated that he does not want it for meat purposes. He wants to keep it around. Well, if that be the case, then even Rav Huna would acknowledge that it's not allowed. However, if nothing is said, there's simply a Gentile customer comes to a Jew for the purpose of buying a behema gasa, Rav Huna sees no problem in that. And as far as the suspicions of work during Shabbos, of malachas during Shabbos, so Rav Huna can explain that away by saying, well, he might very well have bought it for meat purposes. The Gemara asks, "Mino tamro di amrino ki hai gavna?" What is the basis, or do we see any precedent for being toile lekula? Toile lekula is what Rav Huna did. He rationalized or explained away. He explained away the prohibition by ascribing the potential outcome for allowed purposes. And very simply said, Rav Huna said that, well, he might have very well bought it for meat purposes. So where do we find precedent for this type of behavior? the snan. We have a Tanaic source coming up, but before we go any further, it's important for us to take note of the markings. We have the triangle, one of our series markings. In this case, the triangles will be flipping around as you skim down the Gemara. What do the different positions of the triangle represent for us? So in the Mivneh comment, in the outside margin, with the triangle point facing up, L'toivas Rav Huna, this will be will present information or opinions that benefit Rav Huna. And when the triangle flips over with the point facing down, Neged Rav Huna. So the source that supports Rav Huna says, Beishamai Omrim Lo Yimkor Odom Poro Hachoyreshes Bishvias Beisilamatirin Mitneshi Yochoy Lishochta. The Shemitah year is a year that's forbidden in agricultural activity. Beishamai, who is the opinion that we're less concerned with right now, he says that one is not allowed to sell a plowing type cow to a person who is suspect of violating Shemitah. Rav Beis Hillel, on the other hand, is matir. One can sell a cow that's trained in plowing to a person that is suspect in violating Shemitah on the grounds that he may slaughter it. Omar Rava, mi dummy. Rava says that you really can't use the Shemitah example for Rav Huna's benefit. How can you compare them? With our markings, we've emphasized the words Hossam and Hocha with diamonds to make it stand out a little better. Hossam, the source that was Matir, the Shemitah source, the reason for that is Ein Odom Mitzuve al Shvisas Behemto Beshvias. In the worst case scenario, if that animal actually does Malacha on Shemitah, the owner is not said to be in violation. In other words, if someone, we're talking here about the sale of an animal to someone who's choshed on Shemitah, let's say, not allow sales because of in anticipation of loaning the animal to him. Even if the animal was used by someone else for agricultural activities during the Shemitah year, the owner would not be in violation. So therefore we can allow the sales of the animals to the Choshed al Shvias because there's no other worse case that we should have to anticipate or take into consideration. However, Hocha, in the case of Rav Huna, where he sold an animal to a goy, we know Odom Mitzuva al Shvisas Behemter B'Shabbos. There's a command against having one's animal do Malachas on Shabbos. And then all of the considerations that we mentioned on Amud Aleph resurface in the case of a sale to a goy. As we said, if we sell, he might come to loan it to the goy, and if he loans it to the goy and the goy does malacha with it on Shabbos, the Jewish owner is responsible. Amarle Abaye. Before we go further, we want to take note of another geometric form, the house form, and this is also explained in the Mivneh heading, in the outside margin. You see a house form that's featured. Two hatkofos al haklolim shel Rava. There will be two attacks on the rules that Rava suggested. And we also note, im doichim es Rava, if we're successful in rejecting Rava, memelo mischazek Rav Huna. So then Rav Huna comes back into the picture, namely he regains his position, he regains strength. So we've done all of this with the markings. We have a triangle pointing up, Amale Abaye, that indicates something in favor of Rav Huna. And we have Abaye noted, and later on Rav Ashi noted. These two opinions will be calling into question the points that Rava just made. Amale Abaye, v'chol heicha. Notice we have a little base here. This base corresponds to the base that was in a diamond, the second point of Rava. So here we're going to ask on that second point. Is it so that where a person is commanded, there sets in a prohibition of sales? Vahare sade. Here, take a look at the case of a field. The other mitzvah shvisas sodeu b'shvias. A person is commanded that his field shall not be worked agriculturally during the Shemitah year. V'tanya, we have a Tanaic source. Beisham ayomim lo yimkor odom sode nir b'shvias. Beisham says one is not allowed to sell a plowed up field on the Shemitah year. Ubeisilo matirin mipnei shiyochol lahovira. Ubeisilo says it's mutter to sell a field to a Yisrael hachoshen al hashvias. Basilel says that it's allowed one is allowed to sell a field to someone who's choshed on Shvius on the grounds that he may leave it fallow. So we're explaining away Lekula, we're giving a lenient rationalization or explanation to justify the sale of a field to someone who's suspect of violating Shemitah. This is contrary to what Rava was trying to say. Maskifla Ravashi. And now Ravashi focuses on the first point of Rava. V'chol hecha di'ein odo mitzuva shari. Is it so that where a person is not commanded to have something shoves, not be in use during Shabbos or another time period? Is it so that it's mutter, like Rava claimed? When it comes to utensils or vessels, agricultural vessels, a person is not mitzuve, is not commanded to make sure that his vessels are inoperative during the Shemitah year. And according to Rava, if a person's not mitzuva, then sales should be allowed of those things. Utnan, and nevertheless, we see Eluhain kelim she'ein odom rashoi lamochron b'shvias. The following are the utensils, the articles that a person is not allowed to sell during the Shemitah year. Hamachresha v'chokevel, ha'oil, v'hamazre, v'hadeker. All of these, without translating them, are utensils that are used in tilling the land, in cultivating the land. So that even though there's no restriction, there's no din of shvisas kelim on shvias, in other words, if my vessels are in use for prohibited activities during Shemitah, I, the owner, am not culpable. And yet, one is not allowed to sell these items. Ela Omar Ravashi. Notice the triangle is pointing up. We're now going to see information that will favor Rav Huna. 2 points. Kol hecha di'ika lemitla talinon. Wherever you have an opportunity to tole, to rationalize or offer an explanation of leniency, we will do so. V'afagav de mitzuve. Even though we're in a realm where one is commanded to have his item, possession, inactive during that given time period, whether it be a Shabbos question or a Shemitah question. But as long as I can explain away the use of this item for some allowed purpose, I am going to take advantage of that explanation. And wherever I can't offer an explanation, in other words, if someone is going to buy it, he's buying it for only one purpose, for the forbidden use purpose. So lo talinon afagav the eno mitzuva, then I don't offer any other explanations because there isn't any other plausible alternative explanation for why he's buying it, and I will therefore restrict the sales of such things. Afalgav the eno mitzuva, even though with regard to the vessel or the item itself, I'm not commanded to make sure it is at rest. It might be pointed out that in the case of things that I'm not mitzuveh, why am I not allowed to sell it? So the hesber that could be given for that is, nevertheless, there is still a problem of lifnei iver lo yisitein michshol. If I know that someone who is suspected in violating Shemitah, and I sell him these things, I'm helping him in his violation. And that would be a problem of lifnei iver lo yisitein michshol. Rabo zovin hahu chamra liyisrael choshud limkor liuved kechavim. Rabo sold a donkey to a Jew who is suspect in selling it to goyim. Now, it would not be allowed for me to sell a behemoth tamei. This is what we saw in Rashi on Omid Aleph. We mentioned it. Based on in Rashi's name on Omer Aleph to explain the Mishnah in light of Rav Huna's din, that if you were talking about a behemoth tamei, like a donkey, an unkosher variety animal, even Rav Huna would agree you can't sell it to a goy. Well, Rabba sold such an animal to a Jew who is suspect of turning around and selling it to goyim. Amalei Abai, my time Ovid Mar Hochi. Why did you sell it to such a person? I mean, aren't you aware that he's going to turn around and sell it to a goy? Amalei, so Rabba said, Ano Yisrael Zavini. Well, I sold it to a Jew. I didn't sell it to the goy. But the fellow you sold it to is going to sell it to a Gentile. So Rabba says back, he's going to sell it to a goy and not sell it to a Jew? I am told on the fact that he may sell it to a Jew. It's not an absolute that the only one he's going to sell it to is a goy. Therefore, I sold it to this fellow, even though he's choshed, even though he's suspicious. At this point in the Gemara, we encounter a long question. It's actually a very long question. You can see the length by glancing to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You see a kuf that's encircled with a vertical dashed line. And if we were to skip to the end of this section, this long question, you see a dashed, underlined phrase where the Gemara says, "Kach osur limkor liYisrael hechoshud limkor liOyved kechavim." That just like it's osur to sell to idol worshippers, it's osur to sell to those who are suspect in selling it to idol worshippers, and that's not like Rava, and hence the long question concludes in a question on Rabba. And right after that, Rabba is seen trying to retract the sale that he did to such a person. Of course, it's going to take quite a bit of Gemara in order to come to that climax, but we took the liberties of featuring the climax at the outset so you see where we're going. In the meantime, we have to build up to that. Eisvei, the Gemara now introduces a question on Rabba. Mokoim shenoagu limkor behemodaka lekusim mochrim, shelo limkor ein mochrim. Kusim are a people that converted in under questionable circumstances to Judaism. Hence, they are viewed as a category unto themselves in many areas of halacha. So, this source says that the sales of behema dakas to kusim depends on the minhag, depends on the custom. My time up. What possible reason could be given for the minig of not selling to them? Why not? E lema. Notice we have some numberings here. This is a first stage in analysis, and later on, quite a bit down, you'll find another underlined expression, number 2. So the first stage we're trying to find out why is one not allowed to sell a behema daka to a kusi. If you're going to say, well, they are suspect on bestiality. The Gemara says, but that's not true. Umi chashidi. Are they suspect? V'hatanya, we have the following source. And if you skip to the middle of the source, you see a squiggle underlined expression. It says, avol mamidim behema b'pundekoy shel kusim. As opposed to Gentiles, one is allowed to entrust his animal to the inn that's run by Kusim. That indicates, as you see, as you go to the end of the source, right outside of it, afterwards it says, Alma lo chashidi. They are not suspect in revia, in bestiality. So the question is going to remain, why is it forbidden? Why would there be a minig proscribing the sales of the Hema Dakas to Kusim? So now we'll go through the entire source. After asking, is it possible that they are Choshud? They're not Choshud, V'hatanya. The following source opens up talking about idol worshippers. Ein mamidim behema b'pudikoyis shel ovdei kichavim. One is not allowed to entrust his animals to the inns that are run by idol worshippers because of the chashash revia, the chashash that they will conduct bestiality with my animal. And that's a problem of lifne iver lo siteng michshol, putting a stumbling block in front of someone who is commanded. As ought to be known, the goyim, all humanity is forbidden in engaging in this type of immoral intimacy. And the Brisa goes on to delineate or enumerate the different cases or the different combinations gender-wise concerning which we say there is a prohibition. Zechorim, Eitzel Zechorim, means male animals cannot be entrusted by male human beings, male Gentiles. Unekevos, Eitzel Nekevos, female animals, by female innkeepers that are female idol worshipper innkeepers. The one might ask, well, how can there be any intimacy between a female human being and a female animal? So Rashi offers an explanation and says that many times the men, males, hang around their friends' wives, and he might knock on his neighbor's door, so to speak, looking for his friend's wife. And if he doesn't find his friend's wife, and he sees the behemoth, the Gentile man will go for the animal. So we don't want to have animals entrusted by women either. Even if they're female animals, we don't want them entrusted by women because of the fear of the male neighbor coming in. V'ein tzorach loymar nekevois eitzel zechorim, and it goes without saying that I'm not allowed to entrust my female animal to the male goy innkeeper. Uzechorim eitzel nekevos, and likewise male animals by female idol worshippers, because she will have intimacy with the animal. The ain moisrin behemo l'roya shelahen, and we don't give our animals to their shepherds because of the chashash of revia, of bestiality. The ain misyachadin imohem, and we are not to be alone with idol worshippers. They are suspect of murder. They are suspicious in that realm. The ain moisrin lahem tinok l'lamdo yisef l'lamdo umnas, and we don't give over our children to them to teach them different educational experiences or different crafts. The Rashi points out the emotion lehem tinok demashchile laminus. There's the fear that they idol worshippers might draw them into non-belief, and the Ode Mishum Mishkav Zohar, and the Rashi points out because of the fear of homosexual relations. V'hein Muzorna Love, and the Goyim are commanded to refrain, to stay away from homosexuality. Tichtiv, the Rashi points out, V'dovak bishto, the Pasuk says, one shall cleave unto his wife, v'lo b'zochor, not unto a man. Continuing in the source, truth be told that all of the preamble there is not directly related to what we're focusing on at this moment. Avol, Ma'amidim behema b'pudagos shel kusim. We're allowed to entrust our animals to innkeepers that are kusim. And the same list of gender combinations appears. Zechorim eitzel nekevos, unekevos eitzel zechorim. The ain tzorach lomar, and it's obviously mutter, allowed, zechorim eitzel zechorim, unekevos eitzel nekevos. Umoisrin behema l'roya shelahen. And we are allowed to entrust our animals to their shepherds. Umi yachdim imohem, and we're allowed to, a Jew is allowed to be alone with a kusi. Umoisrin lahem tino lamda seif lamda umnas. And we can give our children over to them for educational purposes as well. As you can see from all of this, alma loi chashibi. So they are not choshud on Revia, as witnessed by the fact that I am allowed to entrust my animals to them. If we glance at the Rashi, there's a little star in the Rashi that we want to focus on. So we just got finished saying that the kusim are not choshud on Revia, and nevertheless, we saw a brisa that said that sales of behema daka is totally on the minig. However, behema gasa is usur to sell to them. And why is it usur to sell a behema gasa to them? So Rashi points out that's because he will turn around and sell it to an oive kechovim. And that is a problem, and that's against Rabbah. Continuing in the Gemara, the oid Tanya, and furthermore we see, Ein moichrim lohem lo zayin velo klei zayin. The ein mashchizim lohem as a zayin. We're not allowed to sell to them. Zayin and klei zayin are associated with arms, and we don't sharpen their arms. The ein mashchizim lohem as a zayin. The ein moichrim lohem lo sadon velo kelorin velo kevolim velo shalshaloi shel barzel. We're not allowed to sell all of these other types of tools that are used in battle and to oppress individuals. Echad oivei kechovim ve'echad kusi. This restriction applies both to Gentiles, sales to Gentiles, and sales to kusim. My taima, regarding the kusi, why is one not allowed to sell these arms to the kusim? If you'll say, well, the kusim are suspected of committing murders. Is that true, though? Umi chashidi? Is that really so? Are they suspect? Ho amris umi yachdim imoim. But we said above, and you can use the arrows to find where we said that, it was stated that one is allowed to be alone with a kusi, indicating that he is not suspect of committing a murder. This is, of course, different than the way we viewed the idol worshippers. So then why is it that I'm not allowed to sell arms to the kusi? Elo mishum di osi lizvuna le'oved kichavim. Because I'm afraid that the kusi will turn around and sell the arms to idol worshippers. And sales to idol worshippers are clearly forbidden. V'chitema kusi lo oved tshuva. You might say, well, that's as far as a kusi is concerned, because he won't do penitence. If I sell it to him, he will certainly go ahead and sell it to a goy, to an idol worshipper. Yisrael ovid tshuva. But if I sell it to a Jew, there's a possibility he will do tshuva and not sell it to the goy. And therefore, Rabbah took the liberties of selling the animal, the behema gasa, to the Israel, even though he's choshed, in anticipation of his doing tshuva, of his doing penitence, and not selling it to the goy. Ah, v'omar Rav Nachman Ravua, kederech shamru osur limkor li'ovei kichavim, kach osur limkor li'yisrael hachoshed limkor li'ovei kichavim. just like it's usher to sell directly to idol worshippers, it is also usher, it's forbidden to sell to a Jew that's suspect in selling to idol worshippers. And that's, once again, that's not like Rabbah, that's against Rabbah. Well, after hearing all of this, Rabbah realized that he was on very weak footing. In other words, that his sale should not have taken place. Rohit Basrei Tlosa Parsi. Rabbah ran three parsas, like 12. Each parsa is a meal is approximately a kilometer. So, three times four, around 12 parsa to retract the sale. He tried to run after that Yisrael that he sold to, the Yisrael HaChoshud. The Iko, the Amri, another version of what Rabbah did was Parsa B'chola. He ran one Parsa, but in sand. It's difficult. The Lo Adriche, and he didn't reach him. He didn't reach that Yisrael HaChoshud. He wasn't able to withdraw or retract on that sale. Amar Avdimi Bar Abba, Kederech She'osur Limkor Le'ovei Kechovim, Osir Limkor the Listim Yisrael. Just like there is a prohibition of selling to the idol worshippers, there is a prohibition of selling to a Jewish bandit. Hechidomi, what are the circumstances of this Jewish bandit? E de Choshid de Kotil, if he is suspicious of committing murders, pshita, hainu oivin kechavim, then it's obvious that it's forbidden. I don't really need Rav Dimi to teach me this. He's on the same footing as your idol worshipper that is suspect of committing murders. Ve'i deloi kotil amaylo, and if he's not suspected of committing murders, so why should I not be allowed to sell the arms, we'll say, why can I not sell arms to a Listim Yisrael? Elo, li'olam. What we've done, by the way, with our markings here, you'll notice some underlinings. These are simply stages in the analysis of why is it Osur Limkor Listim Yisrael. So this is the third stage, li'olam de'lo kotil. We're talking about someone that's not suspect in committing murders. However, v'hocha b'mayaskinon, here, what are we talking about? B'mashmuta, we're talking about someone that will try to get away if he is caught. And when he tries to get away, the zimin de ovid latsuei nafshi, when he feels that he is threatened, so he will kill out of self-defense. Rashi says toward the bottom, "Hochi garsin lo'olam de lo kotil uvemashmuta de ovelat zinafshe listim hashomet mamon miyad by love." A bandit, a thief, a burglar who steals money or possessions from the owner, the nimlat v'holech, he escapes and goes away. Uksheroidfin acharov, and when he is pursued, nilcham, he will fight back. Umatzil atzmoi, umaabed ze es mamono, he will fight in order to preserve himself. So as a result of that, we don't sell him arms. Tana Rabbanan, we have a Tanaic source that teaches ein moichrin lohem treisin. Two opinions in this source, if one is allowed to sell shields to the goyim. My time, what could be the reason for not allowing the sales of treisin? If it is because the treisin protect them, Magnu Megin, they offer protection to the idol worshippers. So then we shouldn't be allowed to sell wheat and barley, food we shouldn't be allowed to sell to them. That also helps preserve them. Omar Rav. Rav says, there's another Girsa Rav Papa, he says, E Efshar Hochi Nami. Means if you could in fact avoid selling food to them and not arouse their wrath, in other words, not get involved with any Aval problems, then by all means, let us not sell food to the idol worshippers either. Iko Diamri, another version regarding the shields, is Tresin Hainu Taimo Delo. This is another version regarding the shields issue. He says the reason for a restriction on selling shields to the idol worshippers, the Chisholim Zinayu, because when they're in battle and they use up all their ammunition, Katli Begavayu, they will use the shields as weapons as well. This is a quote from the source we saw, the second opinion that said you're allowed to sell the shields to the idol worshippers. The Chi Sholem Zinayu, according to this opinion, when they use up their ammunition, Me'arek Arki, they run. Omar Rav Nachman Omar Rabavu Halocha Ki Yesh Omrim. He rules like the Yesh Omrim leniently, that it's allowed, one is allowed to sell shields to them. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.